How many of you know sometimes it really is his breath in your lungs? That's what I was thinking about as we were singing that. I was like, God, it's not even my breath to keep breathing today. It's his breath in our lungs. Amen. Well, TGH, I'm so glad that y'all are here today. My name is Nate. I'm the associate pastor here at TGH. And I'm excited because we're starting a brand new series today. That's right. Y'all excited? It's harvest. It's a process, okay? Not just harvest, but harvest is a process, okay? Ty was talking about it in her generosity. It's true. This whole year, we're going to be talking about harvest in all kinds of different ways. And so I'm kind of just introducing this idea to us this morning. If you are part of our fast that we did in January, we gave you a little sneak peek. Okay, the devos we sent out had to do with harvest. They had to do with seed and wheat and bread. Okay, that's what I'm talking about today. I'm excited to give you this word. I hope that it sparks something in you. I really hope that it sparks something in you to seek God. And so, first of all, I want to congratulate all of us. You made it through that cold yesterday, okay? Diana and I, we were going to go get brunch yesterday. It was going to be great, like going out to brunch. Nope, we stayed home, paid someone else, gave them a good tip to bring us some brunch. It was cold outside. Y'all, we made it. So I just want to give you all a shout out for making it here this morning to church. Our scripture this morning comes from Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I apologize, we don't have our slides today. We had some technical difficulties, but we're getting through it. Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 24. It says this, starting in verse 24, Jesus told them another parable. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, 'Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did all these weeds come from?' 'An enemy did this,' he replied. The servants asked him, 'Well, do you want us to go and pull up all the weeds?' 'No,' he answered, 'because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds, tie them into bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" So that's Jesus telling this parable. If you skip down a few verses to verse 36, his disciples come to him. It says, "Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, 'Jesus, please explain to us that parable of the weeds in the field. What does that mean?' And he answered them in verse 37, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man,'" a.k.a. Jesus. That's me. I'm the one who sows the good seed, okay? "He says, 'The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil.'" Uh-oh. "The harvest is the end of the age," or the end of time, "and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil." Thank God. "They will be thrown into a blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, pay attention." Join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are the Lord of the harvest. God, I believe that you have something for us in this passage today. I believe you have something for this church in this word, harvest, for this year, and the process that you have us going through. God, I pray that you would give us ears to hear what you have for us, that we would pay attention, that we would open our ears not to me, but to you, to what you are saying to us, the message that you have for each one of us today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can grab a seat. Now, the first thing I want to tell you in all of this, it's pretty simple and straightforward. You already know it. Harvest is a process, not just a destination. Okay? Harvest is a process, not just a destination. Okay? What are we talking about? Harvest. We don't really harvest. I'm sure nobody here. You might have some flowers or something on your windowsill. You know, good for you. Any plant parents out there? Okay? Has anyone harvested anything? Anybody grow some herbs, maybe? Some herbs or spices or something? Okay, maybe you got a little bit of an idea, a teeny, teeny, tiny idea of what harvest would have meant for Jesus' hearers in the first century, okay? Harvest is a whole section of the year. After all of this work, you've been sowing your fields, you've been planting, you've been watering, you've been fertilizing, you've been working around, like every single day, paying attention to your fields, getting everything ready. And if you don't get it right, you're the rest of the year is going to be messed up. Because when you harvest, you have plenty for now, and, you know, wheat is a great crop you can put in the barn, you can store it away for the rest of the year, okay? So harvest is huge. All the work that people have been doing for months and months and months, they get to enjoy it, they get to rest, and they get to have some stuff laid up for the future, okay? It's a metaphor that everybody would have been like, oh, yes, that's, once we get to harvest time, then my worries are over, I get to sit back and relax. So when we talk about harvest in church, usually what we think about is bigger, better, stronger, faster, higher, all those things. We think about a church in harvest. What does that mean? Well, the church is getting bigger, okay? We're having more baptisms, okay? More people are in the pews. More things are happening. More churches are being planted. More people are preaching. More souls are being saved, right? That's all that we think about, okay? Harvest is almost never, we almost never talk about in church anyway, we never talk about the struggle of harvest. We never talk about the difficulty. We never talk about the pruning God might have to do, the stripping away of things, the death. We never talk about how things might have to get smaller before they get bigger. They might have to get less before they get more. Okay? Harvest is a process, but we always focus on the destination, okay? And guess what? Listen, the process of harvest always includes difficulty, struggle, stripping away, even death. I've been a part of church my whole life, and I've heard we always talk about harvest as something that is all about positivity, growth, excitement, won't he do it, energy all the time. God is going to bring a breakthrough. He's going to bring abundance. He's going to bring a miracle in your life. It's going to happen right now. Now, I do believe that God can do that. God is the one who brings breakthrough. And in fact, God is the only one in some ways who can bring breakthrough in your life. Okay? Sometimes God is the only one that can bring healing in your life. Sometimes God is the only one who can bring new life. You know, we follow Jesus who rose from the dead. Okay? Sometimes God is the only one who can do that, but when we talk about harvest, we skip right to him doing it. We don't talk about how God might have to break you to bring breakthrough. Am I preaching to anybody? When we talk about harvest in the church, too often we don't talk about how God might call you to poverty before he calls you to abundance, okay? He might call you to strip things away before he brings the growth, okay? For a church to experience harvest, it means that we have to shrink before we can grow. Oh, no, 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 that's not the harvest that we want. Harvest is bigger, faster, stronger, healing, breakthrough, new life, now, right now. Now, we want the harvest today, this Sunday, this very sermon. I know we want harvest. And listen, I'm not saying that's bad. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to want. Because like I said, God does that. Sometimes God does skip over things and he brings new life now. Jesus in his ministry all the time was walking up to people, healing them, boom, in the moment. But there are way more people Jesus couldn't get to. Jesus couldn't heal every single person. Every time he did heal someone, it was a sign about who he was, what his life and ministry was all about. You see, harvest isn't a destination that God just like, bloop, plops us into. It's a process, okay? That's how we talk about it in the church. And honestly, we kind of talk about it the same way outside of the church, just without the religious, you know, terms for it, okay? Up and to the right. That's what harvest is, up and to the right, okay? And listen, Christian, if that's your idea of what God is supposed to do in your life, just up and to the right, then you've accepted an Americanized form of Christianity instead of the way of Jesus. Okay, harvest, we in the world, we think it's all up and to the right. Okay, just doing well at work, getting a promotion, getting a better apartment, being able to buy better things, travel to certain places, have a better sexual partner, just be happy. But harvest, it sounds pretty straightforward outside of the church. And if you just pay $99 a month for my YouTube channel, okay, and watch all my videos, it can be yours right now. Too many of those. The problem with the way that we look at harvest, whether in the church or outside of the church, is we want it now. Now. Right now. We want the destination without the journey. We want abundance now, but harvest, it is about abundance, but it's about the process of getting there. If I could connect it to Jesus' story here that we listened to, this parable, okay? The way that we get to harvest is we want to get rid of those weeds. We don't want weeds, we want harvest, okay? And this is why I love Jesus. If you read the Gospels, the stories about Jesus' life and ministry, Jesus isn't like other religious leaders. He's not like good teachers or whatever. He is real. I mean, he lays it out as it is. He says an enemy has planted weeds in this world among the wheat. What could be more real than that? Okay, this we all know this is a reality. Listen, I know it's easy for us, though. We hear Jesus say this, and we're like, I don't know, Jesus. I don't want any weeds. I know they're there, but I'd rather deny them, you know. I don't have any weeds. I don't have any insecurities or chronic pain that I deal with. I don't have any generational trauma or generational sins or systemic racism that I deal with or spiritual strongholds. Or I don't have addictions. I don't have hurts. I don't have unhealthy habits. I don't have depression. No worries. No worries, Jesus. You saved me, right? I'm wheat, right? You see, Jesus doesn't live in a religious fantasy world. He does not. We do. I do all the time. And Jesus lays it out just like we really experience it, okay? The wheat and the weeds grow together through the entire process till the end of time. Ugh, I don't want this. Jesus, take away the weeds now. No, that's not how it is. You see, Jesus is laying out a completely different way of operating for his followers. One that does not deny, belittle, or jump past the weeds of this world or of your life. Okay, he doesn't offer quick fix miracles or a YouTube series of videos for you to subscribe to. Here Jesus is talking about a number of stories. He's illustrating what he calls the kingdom of heaven. Okay, the kingdom of heaven is something Jesus talked about quite often. And that word kingdom is a little different for us, but maybe it's the empire of heaven, okay? Maybe it's the country of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven that Jesus talks about is always obscure, and it's kind of hard to nail. And it's kind of everywhere, but it's very specific. And it looks this way and not that way. It doesn't have like a president, it doesn't have an army, it doesn't have a castle, it doesn't have a capital. God is the king, and his followers live a certain way. And Jesus illustrates that through all these different parables all throughout Matthew 13. It's a great chapter. You can read them all. He talks about the parable of the sower. Okay, he says the kingdom of heaven is like a man who's farming, and he just throws some seed out there. And that's like the word of God, and some of it lands on the path, and birds eat it up. You know, people hear, they don't. He says that, you know, some of the seed goes on rocks, okay? People hear the word, and they get excited. It starts to grow, but they don't have any root. You know, they're not in the dirt, so they die pretty quick. Their faith, you know, disappears. Other seed falls along thorns, okay? And they grow up, but they get choked out by the worries of life, okay? And then he says in that, the good soil over here where there's nothing, it looks like there's nothing, God will bring about a harvest of 30, 60, 100 times as much in that little obscure place. So Jesus is saying that, like, the kingdom of heaven is kind of like that. You throw it out there, and it kind of works in unexpected ways. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Okay, it's this teeny, teeny, tiny little seed, but it grows into this huge plant that birds build their nests in. He says the kingdom of heaven is like yeast. Any bakers in the room, you put a teeny, tiny bit of yeast into bread, it works its way. It's everywhere. It's in the whole dough. It's all over the place. Somehow the kingdom of heaven, it gets everywhere. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure or a pearl of great price that when a merchant finds it, he sells everything in order to buy it. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. He says the kingdom of heaven is like some fishermen that go out and they get a bunch of fish, and then they separate the good fish from the bad fish. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. He's giving us all these little pictures of what his kingdom is like. And here, in this story of the wheat and the weeds, Jesus is showing us that until the harvest, this is the point of the story, until the harvest, the good and the bad are together. That's the whole point of the story. Okay, Jesus isn't trying to like make this huge analogy for all these things. He's trying to show us good and bad grow together until the end of time. And that's a hard pill to swallow. Jesus' kingdom defies expectations. And if you can understand the process that Jesus has called us into to reach our harvest, you'll actually save yourself so much pain in this life, rather than trying to constantly uproot all the weeds around you. Further, we don't, Ty was talking about this and when she was talking about generosity, we don't make harvest happen, okay? Our good works don't add up to harvest, like at a certain time, okay? We don't work hard enough, hustle hard enough, strive hard enough to make harvest happen. We can grow, but God is the one who brings the harvest in his timing. God is the one who does the separating, okay? This is the wheat and this is the weeds. God does that. We don't do that. God is the one who then brings the harvest. And that leads me to my first point here. And we're going to have these three phases: seed, wheat, bread. So my first point, seed phase. The seed phase of the harvest process, identifying the seeds. Matthew 13, verse 24, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away." Now, for Jesus' original hearers in the first century of the Roman Empire in Palestine, they would have totally understood this. A lot of them would have been farmers themselves. And when Jesus talks about wheat and weeds, that's a translation for us in English, but specifically, he's talking about a specific weed called darnel, D-A-R-N-E-L. The Latin term is Lolium telumentum. One of those. It's got a Latin name, okay? It's a real scientific plant. That's all I'm trying to say. Anyway, if you look these up, look for pictures of them, they do look like, I mean, especially to me, I don't know any better thing about farming. I don't know what wheat's supposed to look like, but wheat and darnel look like the same when they're real little, okay? As they grow up, it's honestly hard to see the distinction unless you are looking real close and know what you're looking for, okay? And this darnel plant is actually poisonous, okay? And in the Roman Empire, they actually had laws against this. If you went into somebody else's field and sowed some of this seed, they had a law against that. They could come prosecute you because wheat in the Roman Empire was their lifeblood. Wheat was the cash crop that had to keep the empire going. So they're very serious about this. And by the time that the scripture says that the plants had sprouted and formed heads, that means it's too late. If you can get in there early and pick them out, but if it gets to where they've sprouted and formed heads, that means the roots have all gotten connected underneath, okay? So that's it. So that's why when they go to Jesus and they're like, should we pull them out? The master says, no, if you pull them out, you're going to ruin the whole crop, okay? So Jesus is here is would have been like, oh, yeah, this is a pretty bad situation. We understand this completely. What I want to say to us today in this seed phase is that we've got to recognize the good seeds and the bad seeds that have been sown in our lives. Okay, Jesus said in verse 37, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. Okay, God has sown some amazing, wonderful good seed in our lives. First, we got to recognize that. Then in verse 38, he says, the enemy has sown the bad seed, the weeds. Okay, so what does that mean? That means that we have an enemy who has sown the bad seeds. So you don't need to be pointing to other people and putting the ultimate blame upon them for sowing bad seeds in your life. Now listen, the devil uses people to sow some bad seeds. Can I get an amen? But when it comes down to it, it's our enemy, the devil, who has ultimately sown these bad seeds in our lives. And part of what harvest, the whole process of going through harvest is that we've got to identify, what are the good seeds that God has sown into my life? What are the gifts and abilities, the passions, the desires that he's given me that are good and wonderful and a part of his dream for my life? When he created you, what kind of vision did he have for what you would create? What kind of dreams did he have for your life? Why did he give you that passion? Why did he give you that ability? Why did he give you that opportunity? Okay, it's not just about internal things, but why did you get that money? Why did you grow up in that family? I'm talking about the good seeds. What has he poured into you that he wants you to be a blessing to the world with? Now, we've also got to identify the bad seeds. Again, the weeds. I don't want to deal with the weeds. You got to identify them. I think about one way to think about this for myself is thinking about the scripts that we receive as we grow up. All of us in our family of origin, as we're growing up through whatever kinds of circumstances, we try and make sense of what's going on around us, and we kind of make a script for our life. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is what my motivation needs to be. I need to keep myself from this. I need to fight for this. For me, I grew up in a very good home, a loving Christian home, and I feel like I had a wonderful upbringing. But I remember often being called the golden child. You know, my brother would be like, oh, you're the good one. That was just because he was older and he would make mistakes and like get in trouble and then be like, well, I'm not going to do that. the younger brother over here. But I started to get this complex, I'm the good one. I'm the golden child. I got to be good. And not only am I the golden child, I got to be great. I need to do great things. And I don't know about you, if you got goals in your life, I've got goals that are impossible. Remember, I went to therapy a number of years ago. I was going through life. Things were good. Started feeling depressed. I'm like, what is happening? We came to identify some scripts in my life that were telling me I have to achieve this stuff by this date. I need to do this and do that by this time. And as I'm talking about them with the therapist, it's like, you know what? These are impossible. This is how I've been living my life. This is a seed that's been getting its roots into everything in my heart. Is this making sense? Is this helping anybody? We need to identify what are those things that I'm listening to And how does that match up with what God says? Does God want me to do these things? Like, and here's the thing, it's hard work because we got to see what's the good in that. I had a great childhood. That's fantastic, okay? But the way of the enemy is to twist that. Among the good seed, he put some weeds in there too. So we've got to identify these things. I love what Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, that ministry, they talk about all the time. They say, Jesus is in your heart, but Grandpa is in your bones, okay? Jesus might be in your heart, okay, but Grandpa's in your bones. In your family, they do things their certain way, and they've done it for generations, and you've got to weed that out of you. It's a bad seed that's been sown in there. Here's what Jesus is getting at. Acceptance. Acceptance. You've got to accept the wheat and the weeds, the seeds in your life. We have to work to accept all of the seeds in our life because the opposite is denial. We just deny it. Nah, I'm all wheat. All wheat. All day, every day. Now, this doesn't mean that we just accept things as they are, but it means that we don't deny that there are bad seeds in our lives. We don't deny that slavery and racism for the past has created racist systems and structures that still affect our lives to this day. Okay, we don't deny generational trauma that was passed down to us and affects our lives today. We don't deny faults in our church, in our family, in our past. We accept them. We allow them to grow our soul, to grow us as people. We don't pray away our struggles. In fact, God calls us to acceptance, to embrace the weeds in our lives. Y'all, this is why this is a whole series. This is not just one sermon. You're going to get it. This is a whole life journey that Jesus is calling us to. Okay, listen. We have to stop trying, as Christians, I want to say, we got to stop trying to over-spiritualize things. Depression is real, trauma is real, pain is real, and listen, it doesn't always happen for some spiritual reason. Sometimes the enemy sowed weeds, and we got to deal with it. Listen to this. God can use any situation. That doesn't mean God caused that situation. God can use your life, even though it's full of bad seeds. That doesn't mean God sowed those bad seeds. Okay? God did not plant the weeds in your life. Jesus said the enemy did that. They're a part of your story. They don't have to be part of your harvest, though, because we have hope in the end. Leads me to my second point. Wheat. Started with seed, now we're at wheat, the wheat phase. This is that in-between, middle, or transition time in our lives, okay? Verse 28, Jesus says, the servants asked him, do you want us to pull up all the weeds with the wheat? No, he answered. When you're pulling up the weeds, you'll uproot the wheat. Let them grow together until the harvest. Listen, this is that long road of dealing with the wheat and the weeds all the time. Many times for us, this is a crisis time, an in-between time, a transition time for us. This could be something unexpected that happens in your life. You lose a job. You have to move. You have a breakup, something outside of your control, or maybe it's within your control. Even when you graduate from school, you're on to another phase of life. You move to a new place. Actually, sometimes it's just a steady part of life where, like, things are good, but your faith feels flat. Has anybody ever experienced that before? Listen, I've been a Christian for, 28 years. I was baptized when I was 10. 28 years. I've gone through many seasons of just, like, things are good, but, like, my prayers feel blah, and my worship is not... I'm not excited about it. God feels distant, okay? I can't hear his voice. I'm still praying, still doing the spiritual disciplines, but it's just not working anymore. And what happens is God is calling us into a new phase with him, or a new way of connecting with him. Okay? It's something that many theologians have called the wall. We hit a wall. We're going through different growth phases in life. We, think about when maybe if you've had an experience with God, God does something in your life, and it's amazing, and God feels like right there. Maybe it's when you first gave your life to Christ. You have this just new awareness of God in your life, and so you start reading the Bible for the first time, okay? God feels like he's speaking to you through his word, and it's like amazing. Does anybody remember when that has happened to you? And then you start serving. You start like acting out and changing your life to follow Jesus. Then you just do that for a while, and you just kind of keep doing that for a while, and you're wondering, what is there anything else, Jesus? And you kind of hit a wall. Or it could be, like I said, you've been serving Jesus for a while, you're doing the things, you're following him, you're giving, you have a vibrant prayer life, but then things, you hit a wall. And what happens in that season is God is calling you inward, not outward. He's calling you inward. This is the time often when you get to identify what are those scripts that I'm listening to that are not true. What do I need to recalibrate about me so I can hear God better? Or maybe I just need to accept that God feels distant right now. But harvest will come, but he feels distant right now. I remember there's a number of phrases that I feel like we say here all the time that are really applicable for this. What got you here won't get you there. Okay, God has a vision for your life. God has desires for you. He wants to grow you. And sometimes you've got to hit a wall before you'll even pay attention. You've got to hit a wall before you will really cry out to him. You've got to hit a wall before you'll try something new. That's been definitely true for my life. Because when I hit a wall, I'm like, there is a problem, God. And we got to fix it. So I'm going to read that book. I'm going to go to that conference. I'm going to talk to that person. I'm going to make the appointment and sit down and be like, I'm having a problem. Can you fix it? God knows how we work. Okay. Another thing we talk about is don't just go through it, grow through it. Okay, that's so applicable for harvest. Don't just go through it, grow through it. Okay, what are you doing when you hit the wall? How are you going to grow through that? Listen, getting rid of weeds or denying weeds is not the solution. I remember when I was at in the Bronx, like a couple years ago, trying to get a new church started in the Fordham area of the Bronx, and we had just started the work, and then the pandemic hit. What was the first variant? The Delta variant? I don't even know. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Alpha, Gamma, Delta. Whatever it was, it threw everything off. Okay, and we went through months and months of trying to figure out, what are we going to do? We can't even gather together anymore. What is this? You know, God, why did you even give me this vision to start a church right now when there's a pandemic happening? I didn't know that was going to happen. Why did you call me out to do this? And I remember listening to, I think it was a podcast, talking about sometimes you need other people to loan you some of their faith because you don't have the faith to keep going right now. And that's what it wasn't just me. We had a whole team. And I remember the first Bible study, the first corporate Bible study that we finally did. You know, we'd gone through all these months of not being able to do anything in person. We finally did an in-person Bible study, and I was like, Lord, I don't know. I don't know if anybody's going to come. I don't know if anyone's going to care about this. I'm the one leading the Bible study. I didn't even want to do this. I don't even know. But then one of our team members got up there and was like, hey, everyone, we're so excited. This is going to be awesome, da-da-da. And I was like, wow, I needed their faith because I didn't have any. I'm the pastor, and I've lost all my faith. That's the importance of community. In these in-between times throughout the process, you got to be with other people. Sometimes you don't have the faith, and that is okay. And you need someone else to lend you some of their faith. Listen, harvest means identifying those seeds. It means growing as wheat in this in-between process, however long it might be. My third point is the bread phase. Phase three, bread. Come on, seed, wheat, bread. Mm. I love bread. Come on. It's about abundance, celebration, and rest. Sorry, I had to give that Oprah shout out. We all know what this phase is. This is when things are good, y'all. The Son of Man says in verse 41, he'll send out his angels. They'll weed out of the kingdom sin and pain and suffering, all the bad stuff, all the weeds, they're gone. Yes, thank you, God. Listen, I don't need to spend a lot of time talking about what this is. We know what this is. This is when life feels good, okay? We can enjoy the fruits of our labor, okay? God, he feels present and active and working. We see health and growth and fruit, just like, oh, it's just great. I love these seasons. They're fantastic. And I don't want, listen, as Christians, we can always be fighting for this, wanting this all the time, okay? And I want to speak to us as Christians to do this, what we do in order to, like, feel this way all the time. We try and identify who the wheat and who the weeds are, okay? Oh, this person left the church because they're a weed. Oh, I stayed wheat. That's what we do. We identify who the wheat and the weeds are. Oh, that Christians love to go sin hunting. I was looking for sin. Look in everywhere but our heart. Everyone else has got some weeds. I got a weed out. I'm fine. I got all wheat in here. That's what we do. I know I'm having fun, but that is exactly what we do. It tears apart communities. It tears apart the kingdom. Because Jesus said the wheat and the weeds grow together to the very end. To the very end. And in the scripture it says that Jesus is the one who sends out the harvesters, and it's angels that separate the wheat from the weeds, okay? Angels, not people, not me, and not you, okay? The separation happens at the end, and this is part of the mystery of the kingdom of God. And we don't like that. Mystery, can't it just be plain? Can't we just call people sinners, weeds? No, that's not for you. That is not for you. And listen, harvest never comes when we think it will. We want harvest to come now, right? I was talking about that. But harvest doesn't come when we think it will. Harvest is, y'all, you remember 2020? Right before 2020, everyone had a 2020 vision for the year. I know you had your vision board for 2020. Yeah, the vision of 2020. You got a good vision. Vision, it's going to be amazing. I'm going to do this and that. Remember your 2020 vision and your 2021 vision and your 2022 vision. Yeah, they're in the trash, I know. What I'm saying is the harvest season, it doesn't come the way you expected it. It doesn't follow your step-by-step process. It doesn't follow your strategic plan. Oh, I love strategic plans. Never work. Harvest doesn't fit in a YouTube video or a TikTok series. Harvest always comes in ways we would have never expected. Why? Because harvest includes weeds. We don't want that. Harvest includes transitions, long in-between waiting times waiting for months, for years, waiting. It includes weeds. It includes deep inner work, stories we would never have believed if someone told us prophetically beforehand. Like, no. That's how it's going to happen. Listen, if you are in the wheat phase, let me give you some hope that harvest is on the way. Okay, bread is coming. It will probably take longer than you ever would have imagined. I gotta be real. I hate it, but that's the truth. Even though you aren't seeing the fruit, that doesn't mean that it's not on the way. Okay? As I start to close here, I want us to go back to the sin hunting that we do as Christians. That we've got to identify the sin in everybody else except us. And you know, I was thinking about that. If we're constantly trying to label who the weeds are, if each one of us is doing that, guess what we all are? Weeds. Weeds, I know you think you're a weed. Somebody else thinks you a weed. Okay? Jesus says that he is the one who labels us as people of the kingdom or people of the evil one. He is the one who sends out his angels to separate the wheat from the weeds. He is the one who sends into the fire and welcomes to shine like the sun. Without Christ, if it was up to us, we would all be weeds. Okay? It is only through the sacrifice of Jesus he makes us wheat. Glory to God, he makes us wheat. Jesus did not try and force a harvest in his life, okay? When Jesus was tempted in his ministry, before he started his ministry, every temptation he faced was get harvest now. Get it now. Easy. What's the easy route? Okay, the devil came up to Jesus and tempted him. He said, see that rock? Turn it into bread. In other words, don't depend on your Heavenly Father for everything you need. You have the power. Make it happen for yourself. Provide for yourself now. The second temptation, the devil came to Jesus and said, get to the top of the temple, the holy place, jump down, and the scripture says angels will catch you. What does that mean? Show everyone how amazing you are. Achieve. They'll see this miracle, and everyone will believe you're the Messiah right away. Easy, quick, now. What's the third temptation Jesus experienced? The devil showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world, and he says, I will give them to you if you bow down and worship me. Easy, simple, now. That is why Jesus came, for all the kingdoms of the world. But Jesus did not take the easy now option. He took the process of harvest that led to a cross where he died for you and for me. Jesus took the long, difficult process of following his Father's will. So this morning, as I've introduced this idea of harvest, of this whole process that we're going through this year as a church, thinking about the seed phase, the wheat phase, the bread phase, we're going to keep talking about this over and over and over again. And as I close, I want us to try and identify with one of these phases. If that's you, I want to call you to the altar. I'm calling anyone to the altar who knows they have weeds in their life. I don't want you to come to the altar if you think your life is all wheat. You don't need to come to the altar. I'm also not calling anyone who's out here just trying to identify who the weeds are. You don't need to come. I'm calling those who know that their life is full of weeds, that this church, that this country, this world is full of weeds, and they need Jesus to get them to harvest. Okay, I'm calling to the altar anyone who feels stuck in that wheat phase. You have been in between, in transition, for way longer than you ever expected. You've grown from a seed, but it feels like growth has stopped. It feels like life is just full of weeds. God feels distant. Your prayer feels worthless. You're facing the wall, okay? Let's cry out to God together. Let someone lend you some of their faith. Last, I'm calling to the altar anyone whom God is calling to give their lives to Jesus today. You realize that on your own, you're weeds. But God can make you into wheat. You're putting your hope of harvest not in your good works, not in your hustle, but in Jesus and what he has done for you on the cross. Join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving us. God, I thank you that you love us not just as a feeling, but as an action. We know that you love us because you came to us in the person of Jesus. We know that you love us because you are obedient to your Father over your own desires. We know that you love us because you went to the cross. You did something for us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for seeing us as weeds and not pulling us up and throwing us away. You let us grow because you know us. You created us. God, I pray for TGH. I pray for us in this season of harvest as we press into the process. God, would you help us? Help us in the process. We want harvest now so bad. So God, let us be thankful when you do it. Let us recognize you when you do it. But God, in the meantime, help us to press into the process, to press into you, whether in seed, wheat, or bread. God, we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.